Lots of members of Congress are talking about civil service reform these days. A bill in the Senate would reform it, all right, but only at the Veterans Affairs Department. It would put most managers under Title 38, taking away some civil service protections. For a long view, we turn to Bob Tobias, a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. And Bob, I know you've looked at these things for many, many years, and Title V gives constitutional protections to federal employees. And I guess this all stems from the fact that a fired VA hospital director was denied under the last law, the Choice Act, denied an appeal to the Merit Systems Protection Board. She had to be content with what the judge said, the administrative judge. But in court, they threw that out. And so this new law is a response to that. What's your feeling about taking people from one agency and putting them under an entirely different system?
Well, Congress has been trying to speed up the process of discharge, both for performance and for conduct. In the VA case, it was about conduct, but both have been of concern to Congress. So I think that many in Congress felt that since VA was under such scrutiny and these people appeared to be behaving so egregiously that it would provide a justification for reducing the rights that these employees have. And basically, it's an attempt to reduce the amount of time that decision makers who are considering appeals have to consider those appeals. And my thought is this: changing the procedure does not guarantee that the results will be achieved. So making things shorter, making it more difficult, does not guarantee that more people who are poor performers will be discharged, or more people who should be discharged based on conduct will be discharged. And I say that because if you look at the language of the law today, the statutory standard for discharge is very easy to meet. But what has happened over time is this idea that it's very difficult to fire a federal employee, and it is. But it's because of a failure of a supervisor's boss or boss's boss who won't support a discharge. It's a lawyer who is too busy and says, settle the case. It's an agency that has a culture of tolerating poor performers and moving them around from one division to another. And those issues will not be met by a change in the process for discharge.
So it seems like the origin of many of these issues is the fact that it takes effort to document and follow what people do, but you're obligated to do that both to justify giving them raises and promotions, as well as sending them on the way.
Documentation is part of it, Tom, but a very fundamental part of it is confronting the poor performer or confronting the person whose conduct should be the basis for discharge. And in order to confront, I have to be comfortable and confident that I can manage conflict effectively. And many leaders are not comfortable managing conflict effectively. And so they ignore it. They don't confront it. And as a result, all others in the workplace are angry and frustrated that the supervisor doesn't deal with the poor performer. But as I say, changing the process or changing the procedure is not going to give a supervisor the courage to confront the wrongdoer.
We're speaking with Bob Tobias, a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. And if you look at this from a standpoint of how long it takes, and so therefore you lop off the final step, which is the appeal to the Merit Systems Protection Board itself, which, by the way, is lacking a quorum at the moment, so it's kind of academic. But it seems to me that if they gave more resources to the board and the administrative law judges such that it wouldn't take so long for this process to execute itself, for those managers that do confront it, it would happen a lot faster.
Well, that's correct. It's just so obvious that the delay is not because the people at the MSPB are sleeping. The delay is because they have, like many agencies, suffered a gradual decline in the number of people available to do the work over time. And so Congress is responsible for that. So instead of dealing forthrightly with that issue, they seek to change the process.
What about the idea of one agency, in this case VA and its managers, being under, I mean, Title 38 is a perfectly legitimate title. It's for medical people, and it gives peer review type of process to get rid of bad doctors and nurses is how it was designed. Can that work for just one agency, and can it work for non-medical types of managers?
Well, the language that is being proposed in the new Senate bill really mirrors Title 5. It's placed in Title 38 because that's the because, as you point out, it covers so many Veterans Administration employees already. So the rationale is we'll put it under Title 38, and all you other folks need not worry because it's only under Title 38. But I do worry. I do worry that making it easier to discharge employees, particularly the legislation that is being considered now, which would allow transfers of members of the SES as soon as a new person comes into a political position. The current language bars those transfers for 120 days, which gives a new political appointee an opportunity to learn who is actually working on the job rather than assuming because that person is a holdover, they ought to be transferred. So the elimination of that protection, I think, will only affect the members of the SES, will primarily affect those members of the SES, but I think it's a very bad language in the proposed Senate bill.
In a way, it's almost perhaps Congress's failure to confront the poor performance by beefing up the mechanisms that deal with it traditionally.
Well, there's that. But it's also a failure of agencies to confront the issue of poor performers, which has been around for a very long time. I mean, the language, for example, in the statute to discharge a federal employee for poor performance says that you have to give a person 60 days to improve. If they don't improve, they may be discharged. And the fact of the matter is that appeals for discharge of poor performance are rarely overturned by the MSPB because the standard of proof is so low. But the way agencies administer it, they say, well, 60 days is probably not enough. Maybe we should make it 120 or 180 days. So instead of 60 days, a supervisor has to document performance for 120 days or more before their agency will even pay attention. Well, that discourages dealing with poor performers rather than encouraging dealing with poor performers.
It really moves the problem in the opposite direction that it should, in other words.
Exactly. Because speeding up the appeals process doesn't deal with providing an incentive to bring cases against legitimate poor performers.
Well, we're going to leave it at that because the Senate hasn't acted in totality on this, but I think it's something we're going to keep watching. Bob Tobias is a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.